Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
Hi, J. Marie. J. Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here most of the time. Every Saturday, well, every weekend, talking
I'm here all the time.
Well, except for your Foo Fighters weekend and Memorial Day.
That's correct.
That should be fun. We're here every single weekend talking about estate planning and Medicaid planning. It's a lot of, these topics are not just as dry as a will or a power of attorney, J. Marie. Mm-hmm. What we end up talking about with our clients is a lot of time what we talk about on the radio, and it ends up getting into family relationships and all those different dynamics. It's really quite interesting. So it's a wonderful area of law, John, I got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you're doing it.
Every day is different, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Never boring, never dull.
We spend those days in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, or down in Kingston.
And some weeks, all of them.
Some all of the above. That's right. Wow. We have a color-coded system on the calendar.
So if somebody calls you guys and says, okay, I want to set up an appointment, but I want to go to the Clifton Park office, and I want to see Jane Marie.
Yeah.
So they call your office.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's
right. So our scheduler, right? Melissa, would look to see when J. Marie is in Clifton Park and if there's availability. Do you know how hard it is to get an appointment with J. Marie these days?
All right. How about
it's Dave? Unbelievable. It's even harder. No, same idea. So
All right. That's fine. Great.
What we say to our clients and what Melissa says is, first of all, Dave and J. Marie are one and the same, and you have this. Thankfully, a really high level of expertise and all that at the firm, which is great.
Right.
So if it's a really urgent matter, well, it doesn't matter who you see or where you see him, or we'll start with a phone call.
You got to see somebody.
Yeah. I'll call you tonight.
Yeah. Right. Oh, great. Oh, yeah. That's great.
And if it can wait a little longer, we'll then get you in the right place at the right time. Everyone's busy with work.
Excellent.
A lot of times, John, people are coming in with their kids, working around those schedules.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then, we spend half our days doing document signings and half the days doing consultations.
And I would imagine sometimes you have to do some evening work.
Yeah. Well, that's when the back end stuff happens. That's when we actually, run the business, I suppose.
But all one has to do to see you guys is just call.
Yeah, I think we do, J. Marie, a pretty good job. We're patting ourselves on the back here of being super, super flexible. Mm-hmm. I've had
But that's good to know. People should know that.
A couple of weeks ago, J. Marie went from here to the office to see a client. So that happens.
Yeah, the client whose nephew lives in Texas, and he could only fly in on weekends.
Right.
So,
Got to make it work.
We had to make it work. It was great.
Fantastic.
It is a call-in program, and the call-in number is 518-476-5900. I was not here the last 2 weeks. I could still see the confetti on the floor, guys.
Yeah,
no. Must have had a wild time.
I told Jane Marie you were playing golf. I don't know.
Well, I was not, but weekend I did go to Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever been to Kentucky?
No, I never have.
Jane Marie?
I don't think.
I have.
No.
It's a nice... part of America. It's amazing. This country is amazing.
Rolling green.
That's
what I remember. Yes.
No, I've been to Tennessee, but not Kentucky. No.
They have a race track in Lexington, Kentucky called Keeneland, and it's a well-known horse racing track.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a whole scene there and whatever, and I'm just kind of looking around and so this is nice. It's not Saratoga. It's not even close to Saratoga. I'm a Saratoga snob, I guess. People didn't take kindly to my...
Yeah. I mean, we love Saratoga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't the Kentucky Derby?
That's today.
Up? Is that today?
Today?
Yeah, okay.
That's today. I love today. It's mint julep time.
Yeah, well, it's always mint julep time. So, J. Marie, you had a guest last week. I missed it. I listened to the recording of it. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful program. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we continue to have guests on the show because it brings this new layer of information for our clients. And and when it comes to CD choices, that's a whole other world that we normally aren't talking about. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was really great that he was able to be on and talk about that and how that fits into our community Medicaid program. It was great.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. This is out of nowhere. Were your boys soccer boys? Were they baseball boys? What were they?
I had a soccer child and a football child. And then the football one also did baseball, but the soccer one did fall and spring soccer. So he was all soccer.
I was a baseball boy, and I don't remember what T-ball was like, but my son, Alex, who just turned four, happy birthday, Alex. We have a party for him today. He started T-ball, and I don't remember my T-ball being as chaotic as four-year-old T-ball is.
I loved that. It was so funny to watch T-ball.
Like, everyone runs to the
third
base.
Run. They just run anyway.
In the first practice, he hit a ball off a tee, and then he ran and grabbed the ball instead of running first base. So.
Oh, T-ball's just wonderful. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's more fun, actually. It gets a little boring later on.
He's got a little bit of a cannon with his right arm, and we're noticing it around the house because he's throwing a ball nonstop, which I can't. I want to encourage it, but I don't want to.
Not in the
fix
house.
Fix windows.
It should be outside the house, right?
Yeah, that's right. And not against the house.
Not against the house.
Mm-hmm. Don't throw the ball against the side of the house. We did that as kids all the time. Boy, did we get in trouble.
So, Jamrie, I have two topics that I wanted to bring up to you, and I guess I'll give them names. One of them is tiptoeing, you know, tippy toes.
Tiptoe through the tulips? That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one is called lemonade.
Okay.
So, would you like to pick a topic?
I saw all the beautiful tulips all week, so I'll go with the tulips.
No, tippy toe, not tulips.
Oh, okay.
Like tippy toes.
Tippy toe. Well, I added tulips onto that, so we'll do tippy toe for the tulips. Tippy-toe. Okay.
Okay, perfect. So this is a fact pattern that we see quite a bit where we have second relationships. We have, at the end of the day, kids that we want to leave things to, and it's a rather complicated plan where, when this gentleman passes away, some things go to his wife, his second spouse. Some things go to his son outright. Something goes to his daughter, kind of outright. That's where we're going to tippy-toe. And then there's some things that go to wife and then daughter and whatever. And the reason why there's a difference in the plans and we're not treating daughter and son the same in this plan is not for a lack of love and affection for their kids. He loves his kids. Mm-hmm. It's because daughter is not very good with money. Mm-hmm. And daughter... You know, not a bad person by any means, but daughter's in a relationship, in a marriage where, you know, spending habits are a little iffy. You know, we always have to plan as if marriages may end, even though we're hoping they never do. So as planners, it's something on his mind. He's saying, well, one of his pointed questions was, now what happens if I die, she sells the property, they commingle the money, and then they get divorced. This is like a really narrow, specific thing, but you could see it happening.
It could. And he wants to make sure she's financially secure for the rest of her life.
So what do we do, Jamrie? We start talking about, well, you know, we could leave things to her in trust, so it's never really hers, and she doesn't have that opportunity to commingle. Mm-hmm. But then we're maybe involving her brother as a trustee, and we have this ongoing trust for decades.
It's a little bit awkward.
A little bit awkward. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, why don't you just talk to her? Why don't you just say to her, hey, look, I have some concerns about your husband. I love him and love you more, though. And I want to make sure that I'm providing for you now and also in your later years. And if I structure this a certain way, and I want you to understand my concerns, but if I structure this a certain way, not only will you get an inheritance now, but there'll be more later and almost like a de facto retirement. There's some rental properties. We're talking about downstate. We're talking about Queens where, you know, your
prices are crazy.
I mean, $1 million for a couple rooms is unreal.
Right.
So he's got legitimate concerns. And for me, I feel like I'm the type that just would bring it up.
Right.
And just talk instead of just kind of keeping it in and kind of plodding around. But I said, imagine if something does happen to you and your daughter finds out that she's getting things in trust because you essentially don't trust her judgment. That's going to sting quite a bit.
Right. That's right.
But it's important for you to, reach your goals here as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, stop tippy-toeing around this whole thing. Have a conversation.
It's always better to talk to your children about your estate plan. Right. And it could be a conversation where she may not know that she should keep her money separate.
Right. Well, right? For starters, right.
Right. So, I mean, so if he was going to go that route, maybe he'll talk to her and she'll say, I understand. I'm going to keep everything I get from you separate. Right.
And I mean, she's, you know, mid to late 40s. She is not a little girl. She is a grown woman who can make decisions on her
own. And she can understand the consequences.
And so I feel like there's two ways to go. One is you do set rules on money because you don't believe someone's going to keep property separate. You're worried about commingling. You're worried about how they spend money. You're worried about, you know, and this could be extended to substance abuse. It could be extended to gambling problems. It could be extended to just general bad judgment, and you really want to, like, you could control so much from the grave, Jamer. You could, I mean, you could draft all sorts of language that puts rules on money and how it
could
be used and when.
I could leave my money to my boys in trust forever if I chose
you wanted to.
And sometimes I think about that.
and hold on. So that could be a great idea.
Yes.
And it could almost be like an allowance for life and then some exceptions for emergencies and stuff. And it helps not only with possible future divorces, even though your boys are not even married.
That's right.
But it can help on those things. But it could also set them up financially forever. And what a nice thing for you to do. But there are huge tax ramifications to it, because while we can talk all the time on the radio about how great the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust is, or a revocable trust is, and how for tax purposes nothing changes and life's the same. You pay income tax at your level. There's no trust return, you know, income tax, et cetera. That all changes once, Jamerie, you're gone.
Right.
And the money's in trust for other people.
That's true, because now the trust is now paying taxes on the money that it doesn't distribute. So that's, you know, but more importantly, I think, you know, is if I didn't talk to them ahead of time about that, they would be like mad, right? I know they would be. She doesn't trust me. Why didn't she give me the money directly? Why is it in trust for the rest of my life?
So if you have the conversation, Jamerie, because we're it sounds so good. Yeah, no, just talk about it, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, and now we talk about it, and now it's really awkward for the rest of our lives potentially, because at Thanksgiving, that son-in-law is at the table as well.
And,
and it's like, oh, that's right. Remember, Dad doesn't trust me to, you know.
Right.
So it's not like you blurt it all out in the reasoning, but I feel like in this circumstance, in this fact pattern, it makes a lot of sense because, oh, by the way, who's going to be holding the money for daughter down the road, decades down the road? Probably brother.
Yeah.
And brother's like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That's really weird. I have no interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a meeting this week where there's another option out there, which is having more professional trustees involved and have a bank involved. And that certainly is an option and oftentimes a good option. But we are increasing the complexity post-death. And one of the big themes with our estate plans is that we're making it easy for death, obviously preserving money.
Right.
But make it so if God forbid you pass, good plan, it's over. And
the
now your kids could plan for themselves.
Right.
So...
But yeah, I think the hardest part about that is finding a trustee because, all right, daughter's 40 now. They probably have family and friends who could be trustees. Who's going to be her trustee 40 years from now?
That's the question.
That's right. They don't have someone probably they can think of.
That is the question. We'll try to answer it in the second half of our show. We'll be right back. The second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. I'm Jane Marie Shaver. I'm Dave Kubicki. No, I'm
funny
not.
You don't look like her.
I'm staring at her. I Jane Marie on the mind. My name is Dave.
My name is Jane Marie.
Hi, Jane
I'm
Marie.
I'm the one with the hair, remember?
I'm Dave.
You're the one without the hair.
In the first half of this show, we were talking about tippy-toeing around difficult conversations with your children. Do you talk to them about your estate plan? Do you keep it to yourself and just... complain to your attorney, which we've heard many, many times. There's pros and cons to either route. I'm always a advocate for communication. Jane Marie, I think you're the same way.
I am. I agree.
That doesn't mean you need to spill the beans on everything because things may change along the way. You never know. For the better, for the worse. But, you know, and you have that flexibility. By the way, with all our estate plans, what I think makes the fact pattern we were talking about a little more pressing is that it's highly likely, I would say, that in the next several years, this estate plan is going to be enacted.
That's right.
Okay. Unfortunately, that's my spidey senses on it. And it's a family matter kind of. So I'm in tune to more than I normally would be with a client. I have a lot of clients, Jane Marie, where I have a little note in the file to have the conversation with the kids.
Yes, I do too.
So
about why they did things a certain way.
Well, not just that, Jamie. So, John, do you know what the conversation is?
Well, I would imagine it could be any number of things, but yeah, about the future.
So it's
a generalized statement, of course, but yeah.
So mom and dad could have put some highly restrictive language in their documents. They decided not to after giving it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
Part of which because they said, Dave, are you sure? Do you promise that when you're sitting in this room with my kids, you will say, now listen, mom and dad didn't, they could have done this. They're not thrilled with your choice of spouse, but you're a grown person. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
They really, 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 really want you to keep this money separate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
They're not saying it's in trust for you.
Yeah.
It's your money, but for purposes of possible future divorces, things like that, please keep this in a separate account.
And in the meantime, if the spouse finds out about that, it could be trouble.
And sometimes that spouse may even be there with the daughter. So,
That's why it's a little note in the file kind of educate the children on things like matrimonial law. And let them know, look, there's actually a difference between, like, when you inherit money, it's your money. Right. Mm-hmm. New York is not a state where as soon as you get money, it's marital and I lost half my stuff in a divorce. There's marital stuff and non-marital stuff.
Right.
And gifts that you receive and bequests through an estate plan that you receive actually start as separate property and you can commingle. The fact pattern we were talking about before, dad knows about that. He's actually been through a divorce. Actually, all three of them have been through divorces. So he's particularly in tune to it and had very specific questions. And the question I give to you, Jane Marie, is at what point do you make something formal? At what point do you keep things informal and have Dave's going to talk to you at some point to remind you of what our expectations are? So how do you deal with that?
I think it's how risky it is, right? How much you really want to protect that person. Because sometimes the child doesn't really see the problems.
Yeah.
So maybe you have the conversation and the child doesn't, or you've had many conversations and they don't see any issues.
Yeah. And, you know, how well do you actually know your kids day to day and what their life is like? You maybe just see a couple holidays worth of time and you're making judgments on what they're wearing and what car they're driving. And we always tell people when, especially when they're like, you know, I'm going to give a little more to this child because the other one's doing better. It's like, how do you know?
Yeah, between my two kids. My younger one doesn't spend a dime. He's really cheap. So you would think he needs the money, but he just saves all his money.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a yin and a yang, and we always talk about equitable, not equal. So most people want an equitable estate plan. That doesn't necessarily mean everyone gets the same percentage. It's whatever you think is fair. Our documents tend to be pretty basic in terms of those restrictions. I think we have lots of discretion we give the trustee in our documents as opposed to hard and fast rules. And I like that because it's like a chameleon. It could change depending on however the kids are doing or grandkids are doing. We have provisions that say for example, you know, grandkids are going to get money at certain ages and yes. you know, percentages at certain ages. But then, like, the very next paragraphs say, however, the trustee has discretion to give money earlier.
Right. Which you is know. Why a lot of the discussion is about the trustee and how much faith you're putting in that trustee to carry out your wishes.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're hoping in the future we actually could have, you know, more formal trustees join us on the show to just kind of talk about what that all looks like.
Right.
Because it's not, you know, there's a reason why most of our clients name kids as trustee and they don't go that extra level because, you know, we're not doing commissions typically. And
right. But they also don't know how a corporate trustee may work.
Yeah.
Right. They're afraid that they would be too restrictive on the money. You know,
I've seen a lot of times where you have two trustees and one is kind of a family member and
yes.
one is has nothing to do with the family. And it's a good, again, check and balance.
Right.
So there's a, you know, a little bit about the dynamic that the family has and then the professionalism and, you know, mm-hmm. know-how.
That's right. They can say, well, we're investing this. You really can't spend that much money on this car or whatever. So, but it's a nice check and balance there.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you have family members where, you know, you and your husband, you and your wife talk and, you know, you have your certain thoughts and feelings. And we know what those feelings are because we could see it on your face as soon as we bring up how your kids are doing. And
that's always one of the first questions I ask. Yeah. And how are your kids?
Right. And they always give a look to each other and should we tell them? Yeah, let's tell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, I have to know, right?
But it's if you don't at least talk about it, it doesn't mean you need to spill the beans to your kids and let them know every part of your estate plan. That's your business and it's whatever you want to do. But it's certainly worth a conversation with your attorney. Right. As to what should be formal in a document, what should be informal, what should be the conversation, air quotes, that we're right. supposed to have with your kids at some point down the road, and so on.
I would say most of our plans, if someone's doing something drastic, like cutting someone out, or that child usually knows, right? It's not usually a surprise.
Yeah.
Or if that child's getting their money in trust, they're probably not going to be surprised. It's pretty rare that a parent does that and the child has no idea.
Right.
Like they come in and we're like, you're cut out. And they jump up and scream. You know, that doesn't happen. That's on TV, right?
So. Yeah. We have about 5 minutes left somehow on this lightning fast show of ours,
wow.
Jay Marie.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to talk about this other topic, the lemonade, but I think it's a longer discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to give you guys an update on an old fact pattern.
Oh. Okay.
So John, I don't know if you remember this. It may have been Ben that was here. So
right.
we had a fact
yeah.
pattern where a client, a widow, came in to the office and I said, I think you should do a trust. And for financial reasons, she said, you know what? I'm just going to go with basic will, power of attorney, and I'm going to do something called a life estate deed.
Okay.
Which is a deed. I
mm-hmm.
give you my property, but I reserve in the deed the use and enjoyment of the property.
Oh,
and
okay.
I pay the taxes. Right. Life's the same.
Right.
We avoid probate. It checks a lot of boxes. But as opposed to having a puppet, which we always talk about when you do a trust, you have a partner
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you now have a co-owner, essentially. And wouldn't you know, about a year ago, she came in and said, I need to change this all. Mm-hmm. My daughter and I had a falling out.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And I said, well, the only thing we could change is your will
right.
and your power of attorney.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
change that deed. I mean,
yeah.
would she ever sign? She said, no, no, no.
Did the daughter
mm-hmm.
have power of attorney? Or
she was power of attorney, but she stopped being power
right.
of attorney.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, so I didn't get to talk about mm-hmm. it because it happened recently. She came in and said,
yeah.
we're good again. Let's change the will back to include
oh
my daughter.
God.
We're good. And I said, thank
yeah.
God we're good. I said, well, now listen, mm-hmm. since we're all good, and the daughter doesn't know about the changes that happened, so if you see her, don't say anything.
Right? Yeah,
keep it
right.
between us.
You were briefly out for
yeah.
a period of time.
Be nice to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So she's changing everything back that mm-hmm. she had previously changed. And I said, hey, do you want to maybe take this time, since everything's great and your daughter doesn't mm-hmm. know you had changed things before, we could change your life estate deed into a trust.
Right.
We could undo it. We'll use your daughter's permission, but you guys are good now. And there's other reasons to do the trust. A life estate deed, for example, only helps you with property, doesn't help you with
anything
non-property
else.
And everything
right.
else. So there's lots of good reasons to do a trust. Maybe we'll take this time to do a trust. And so that way down the road, when falling out 2.0 happens,
yeah.
we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And she elected to stick
wow.
with the life estate deed.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And she said, you know what? Whatever will happen down the road will happen down the road. And I'll say, I love it. It's all good because it's whatever she wants, and she knows her options and understands the pros and cons. You know, we don't make decisions. We just advise. But it really does hammer home the difference between having a partner and having a puppet. And we, I think, almost always will want a puppet.
Yes.
But sometimes puppets cost more money than partners. So
I've had that before. I've had that same situation where they come in and they want to change the life estate deed. And like, it's too late.
And so
you can't do that, right?
Jeremy, so some people are saying, I've never heard of a life estate deed. So can you explain it in 3 minutes or less?
Sure. So the life estate deed is you're putting your child's name on the deed, but you're keeping the right to live there for the rest of your life. But your child's name is on the deed. So the only way they can come off that deed is if that child signs off on it. So you don't really have that much control or power over it. You know, and I would say 99% of the time, it's fine. You know, you trust your children. They're on the deed. It's going to pass to them outside of probate when you pass away. So that's a benefit. But, you know, in those rare cases where the parent changes their mind, you can't undo it. It's too late.
Exactly. Pros are, you know, it checks the box on avoiding probate. It checks the box on getting that 5-year look back period started. However, the house has to stay a house. And if you want to sell it,
That's the other problem.
Everyone has to agree.
The money goes to the child. I mean, most times the children will give mom the money to buy a new house.
Well, of course it does, Jamie, because they own more of it. You just kept the life use, and
that's
your life is shorter every day, theoretically.
Thank you.
Not your life.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about in general.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you.
Well, it's actually true that you're... All right. Is the show over yet? What's going on here, John?
We've got 1 minute, actually.
We didn't talk about the coronation at all. I know if Harry was here,
is he into
that?
Well, he's into everything.
Oh, okay.
But he would have known. I was watching it briefly, and there was so much ritual going on this morning. And Harry would have known what all that
Whereas we Googled the order of the monarchs, he would already
just
have
to
known
see.
It.
Yeah,
he would have.
Yeah, who the kings and queens were before.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned a little history this morning.
It was very odd. The part I watched, they were handing him a glove and the scepter and the rod.
Well, I know that from the movie Frozen. So there's a scepter involved and there's a glove.
Oh, okay.
That's, there you go.
And an orb.
Yeah, no, the orb. The he holds an orb and the scepter.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the part I saw before I had to jump in the car.
Enjoy this beautiful day, everyone.
Have a great weekend.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.